me, this was probably one of the, out of all the ICR videos that we've been watching so far, this had like the most technical, and something we just take for granted. The complexity of the eyes, the miracles of the eyes.
You know, God designed our eyes for maximum performance as well as beauty. I just think you're trying to hit a baseball. I mean, we just, he was talking about that, and all the hundreds of that, and to try and pick up the spin on a baseball. You know, I marvel at God's design, and you know, we were talking about multiple parts. I mean, it's just not just the eye. It's the brain, and it's the parts of the eye, and it's all the different parts that are working together to enable us to see. I thought it was quite, when you're looking at an apple, I don't know if anybody else thought of this, but the apple, I don't know. When we get to heaven, Jesus is going to, like, blow us away with what he created in his design. Because to me, when I look at this video here in this film, are we looking at a red apple? I mean, all we're seeing is the light that's being reflected off of that apple that is red. What is heaven going to be like? I mean, I've marveled before that we might be able to taste like an F sharp or something, or you know, God's gonna, I believe, is gonna expand our senses and our design. But how we see, let's just take and just hit a teeny portion of a recap here. The very first thing that happens is light reflects off objects and enters the eye through the cornea, and then because the eye has different density from the air. You know, everything we've seen, but we're just going to recap here. The light waves bend when they hit the cornea, and that's called refraction. And then light passes through the cornea, and the lens gathers the light and changes shape to direct the light toward the retina at the back of the eye. And then the Mueller cells pass the light from the front of the retina to the back where the photoreceptors are. Photoreceptors are those cones and those rods, and to detect light and convert it to data. So all this right here is all happening, and then we convert it to data, and then it sends it to our brain and the information, and then the brain interprets it, that information. See, this is the miracle of the visual system, and our eyes are just a part of a complex visual system that translates pure energy from light into data. Information in a fraction of a second. I can't comprehend it. I really can't. But see, this is part of that. Turn this on. Sorry. Should have been waving or something. This is part of that.
All or nothing. I mean, this system would not work if it's missing something. And how long did this blob just sit here forming to create this system? And then if you don't have reproduction, which is what we were talking about the last time, how does it reproduce? Travis, good luck. I mean, you're going in the medical field. I don't think you're going to be able to be quiet. I really don't. I think you're going to see God's design, and I think you're going to find somebody that you're going to be able to relate to. And it just makes no sense. Clearly, there's design. It's all or nothing. You can't just have part of the system and wait for the next part to work and then not have any reproduction of it It just, see, precision never just happens. That blob is going to sit there, and the precision that we see in our visual systems is not going to just happen. Human engineer cannot achieve the level of precision in the eye design. Someone had to ensure proper alignment of everything in our visual system. See, evolution claims that optimized, and not just with our eyes, but evolution claims that optimized design, because they see design, but in the evolutionary train of thought, natural selection is how the design got there. So natural selection is the evolutionary's God. That's how design came about. They're not going to give God the credit for the design. They've replaced it with natural selection. But one of the things they do, they see the design, they see optimized design, like the human eyes, were honed by evolution. And actually, what we're looking at here with the eye is that's totally false. How can evolution hone the eye? It's a false set of interpretations. You see, evolution is false. There's no naturalistic mechanism or principle among all legal limits of nature that has been found to actually build such a remarkably efficient machinery. There's nothing in science that says that this can happen. It's a religion. It's a belief. What science does observe, though, and measure, is the sometimes slow breakdown of efficiency and organization. And that goes right along with the second law of thermodynamics. Everything is going towards breaking down, not the other way around. So science shows completely opposite of what the evolutionary train of thought is trying to teach us. This means that the eyeball evolution lies outside of all natural limits. The evolution of the eye it cannot be within the boundaries of natural legal limits. It has to lie outside, which means that design means there's a designer. In Isaiah 40:26, he says, "Lift up your eyes on high and behold." Reminds me, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things. Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes so that I may behold wonderful things out of your eyes. This verse right here is something that it kind of shows the inadequacy and the divine sufficiency of the author. Open my eyes so that I may behold. The prayer, dear Lord, and it's not just the eyes, it's the heart. It's, you know, we're using eyes here as a basis, but it's like, open me up so that I may behold your wonderful things out of your law. I see your design. Please, Lord, open my eyes so that I may behold the wonders of your law. John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This parallels Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I just was talking to somebody up at camp that had a lot of Mormon influence. He came up to work with us, and I knew he had a lot of Mormon influence as I had the ability to take him through the gospel. And the Lord just kept stressing on me, because I don't know if you know, but in the Mormon influence, the devil and Jesus are brothers. They're not. Jesus is not God. He's a son of God, and the devil is a son of God. And I took them through this right here because it's not biblical to think that way. And here it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The verb "was" highlights the eternal preexistence of the Word. And the Word is Jesus Christ. So there always was the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through him, and without him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. See, the Word was with God. The Word is the second person of the Trinity. These three verses together shows that Jesus was in fellowship with God at the beginning. Jesus was the creator. Jesus was the one who spoke into existence all that is seen and all that is unseen. He spoke into existence the complexities of our eyes. He spoke into existence the reproductive systems. And Jesus, who is the creator, left that. He left the heavenly abode and donned human flesh and walked among men. He didn't give up his deity. He didn't give up his Godhead. He just donned on flesh. And this is where, the remarkable thing of the eye and the complexity of the eye, I just had to go, and I want my goal is to show you who designed that. That's my goal here. I want you to understand who designed that eye. He was the Word. He was in intimate fellowship with God the Father, and he left the heavenly abode to come down here and don flesh. And by doing that, he willingly gave up. He willingly did that. And he did it for a purpose. To take form of a man and become subject to the death of the cross. Our Creator, the one who created your eye and my eye, came to this earth in the form of man to die on the cross. The Word in these verses right here has all the essences or attributes of deity. See, Jesus was God. Jesus is God. Jesus now sits at the right hand of God the Father. Even in his incarnation, when he emptied himself, he didn't cease to be God, but took on genuine human nature and voluntarily refrained from the independent exercise of the attributes of deity. You see, I just so want you to know Jesus. Because Jesus came, the creator, the designer. I used to not like the word design because what was that in school that they were trying to promote? And it was like in the middle of evolution and creation, and they came up with this designer, and it didn't sit well with me. But we see design in all of what we see. I mean, Romans 1:19 and 20 says it's clearly seen. We see the design. We have to be vocal about who the designer is, because there's only one true God. And Jesus says that I am the way, the life, and the truth. And nobody comes to the Father but through me. And you see, Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming again. Maranatha. You'll hear more about that word next week if you come Sunday morning. Maranatha. It's almost like a greeting, like shalom. Not many people know it, but if a Christian comes to you, if somebody comes to you and says Maranatha, it's almost like shalom. And you say Maranatha back. And what that means is that we're brothers and sisters. I understand Jesus has come and Jesus is coming back again. That's through all of this design, my whole want to is not just to point you to a designer and let you walk away and just, yeah, you know, I see it, it's clearly seen. I want you to fully understand that Jesus is the Creator, Jesus has come, and Jesus is coming again. In Philippians 1 through 6, it says, I am confident that the Creator, who has begun such a great work among you, will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. Back in Isaiah 40, and verse 26, it says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. You see, in Isaiah 46, this is the Jewish people in exile in Babylon, and they're fearing. I don't have enough time to take you through the whole thing, but they really, there's some that don't want to go back 700 miles. They've already kind of created a life there. But understanding that the generation that knew is done, been passed, and the generation that is left really doesn't have the experience of what the generation that has passed has had. They've got stories, but they're really afraid. They're throwing up all these fears on why they don't want to go back to the promised land. Some want to just stay in Babylon, and the Babylonians are scaring them. And Jesus is telling them through the prophet Isaiah, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. And he says in verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. That's how I wanted to close you tonight, is I want you to see who the Creator is. And I want you to understand through prophet Isaiah that those who will wait will gain new strength. Those who are listening, those who are opening God's word, those who are absorbing his word will gain new strength. My prayer for this church and our youth group and everything is that we'll mount up with wings like eagles. We will run and not get tired. We will walk and not become weary. Because Jesus is Lord. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's coming back again. I just ask, are you ready? Are you ready? Are we ready to soar like eagles while we're tarrying, before he comes back? But are we ready for his coming? I pray that you do. I pray that if there's somebody here who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, what He did for you on the cross, that you would talk to somebody before you leave here. Because He's coming again to take us home. But while we're here, we need to rely on Him to mount up with wings and soar like an eagle. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for such great design. It is clearly seen. And it's clearly spoken in the Word that Jesus is the Word. Jesus came in the flesh to die on the cross so that we might have eternal life. He now sits at the right hand of God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is here to help us. I pray, Holy Spirit, impact our lives in a mighty way for Jesus. Help us to not be weary. Help us to trust in the Lord God. Bring somebody into our path this week, I pray, that we might be able to speak the truth of Jesus, that we might be able to share the love of Jesus with somebody this week. Help us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, everybody.